Welcome to the Tailored Life Podcast. This is the podcast for every average individual who wants to be more than just that. They want to live an above average life. They want to do it in an above average physique, and they want to do above average things. I am your host, Cody McBroom. I'm an average guy who is constantly chasing the above average lifestyle and an above average physique. And today I am just randomly jumping on the mic to spit some fire. I feel like a 13-year-old saying that. I actually, funny enough, learned a lot of new slang terms from my buddy Cody as well. Pretty recently, I'll have to, I got to text him and get some of those because some of them are hilarious. But today I'm gonna dive in. The reason I say spitfire is because I have a lot on my mind lately. I've had such a transformative ending of 2023 and beginning of 2024 in so many areas of my life. And I really, really want to deliver some value to you guys based on my experience, based on my experience of change, to be honest with you, based on my experience of pushing myself beyond what I thought was possible, based on my experience with self-doubt, fear of failure, depression, anxiety, overwhelm, not caring at all, and not knowing what direction I'm going, lack of clarity, so many different things, and a lot of things that people might hear and go, damn, I had no idea that you experienced that too. Because on the, you know, the surface value or the face value, when I look at social media and stuff like that, I wouldn't expect that. Number one, social media is a highlight reel, and I will gladly admit that, but it should be. Nobody benefits from me pouring out a bunch of sob stories or complaining or bitching and moaning or talking about woe is me or what I'm dealing with or the stress in my mind. That does nothing for anybody. And so I actually posted something on my social media to end the year talking about some of the battles I went through. And I didn't even dive into half of them or the details behind some of them because they're personal matters. And I've had some people reach out to me personally, and I want to thank those people because it meant a lot that they reached out to me. But a few people were like, damn, how come you haven't said anything? It's like, because I didn't have a solution. Until I have a solution, I'm going to keep quiet. And I'm going to keep it close to my chest and in my inner circle, which is very small. And the reason for that is because I need to work through it. I need to grow through it. I need to build from it. And then I need to share the lessons I learned from it, right? And that's kind of what has led to episodes like this. I used to do these Monday motivations. If you've been a listener for a long time, you probably remember the Monday motivations. They were really popular. I don't know if this is going to be airing on Monday or not because this is an unplanned episode. But I wanted to jump on the mic and do something similar to that. And who knows, maybe they'll come back. Maybe I'll do some extra episodes more often because I've cleared out some time in my schedule with just systemizing things and such. But it's really important for me to share the lessons I've learned through hardship, through challenge, through chasing success, chasing this above average lifestyle, chasing an above average physique, working through things that were unexpected, things that were difficult, things that tested my strength, things that tested a lot of different types of strength, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, all these different things, right? And today I want to give you three things that not only have helped me grow and become the individual I am, and more than me saying these three things help me build success, because I haven't reached the ultimate success yet. So I'm not going to talk as if I have. However, I'm constantly chasing it. And every single day I get a little bit closer to what I believe success is. And success is continual. It's a process. It's not an outcome. And so as I chase this, there's things that help me make leaps and bounds of progress. There's things that help me fast forward my progress, push harder during the process. And there's also things that I notice the most successful people do. And so these three things have helped me tremendously. They have allowed me to push through hard times. They have allowed me to work through challenges. They have allowed me to build resilience, strength, fortitude, willpower, motivation, ambition, discipline. But not only have they helped me build those things and in turn create more success in my life, I've watched other successful people use them too. And so although there's a lot of traits and characteristics and actions and habits that successful people use, that things that I have used, these three things specifically have helped me tremendously as of late, and they are very specifically correlated to what other people do as well. So I'm going to dive right in. The first thing that I notice successful people do, and what I have personally done really well in my life, is turn triggers into lessons. And what I mean by this is that most successful people, first of all, don't easily get triggered because they don't put too much investment into what other people think or say. The judgment of somebody else that I don't even know who is on social media just trying to cause a ruckus does not impact me, my livelihood, my success, my emotions, my goals, my family. If it doesn't touch any of those things and derail me from moving forward with those things, then why would I care? It is a waste of time. It is a waste of energy. And the problem with today's society is that that is not a common thing seen. Most people get so triggered that it consumes them. And what they don't realize is that the troll on the other side commenting or hating on you in a Facebook group that is private or whatever it may be, or Twitter and threads for whatever reason are just like the gauntlet. Those are the worst places. But that, and believe it or not, Facebook group communities are pretty gnarly at times too, at least in my experience. Random ones if you're in like a neighborhood Facebook group or something like that. But point being, most people don't realize that the person on the other side that's talking shit, they say something, they click enter, they go on about their business, and you harp and sit and fester on what they said, and you're thinking about it, you're trying to think of a response, you feel judged and attacked, and it's consuming your thoughts. Your brain and your energy and your heart and your time is far too valuable to be consumed with somebody you don't even know. You don't know their values, you don't know their beliefs, you don't know their lifestyle, you don't even know if they are real half the time. Why would you let that consume your time, your energy, your heart, your mind? Protect your mind, protect your time, protect your heart, protect your energy. You don't need to fill it with that, right? And successful people don't let that happen, plain and simple, right? But even more beyond that, when they do get triggered, they investigate it. And that's the real lesson here. See, most people who get triggered, they get triggered by a statement, they feel attacked. Why do they feel attacked? Most likely because it's an insecurity of theirs. I'm going to talk about this on a separate occasion because I'm going to have Brandon, my video guy, and one of our clients on the show, because he is a really good perspective of it because he's a client of ours and he's on his weight loss journey. But I've made a post talking about trainers, you have no excuse not to be in shape. And I triggered a lot of people. Now, I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but there were some people who got triggered, and they got triggered because they're insecure. They're a trainer. They're supposed to be showing up as a fit individual. And mind you, if you're a trainer listening to this and it's triggering you right now, you really need to take the advice I'm about to give you. Because I can't tell you how many clients of mine and of the members at our company, Tailored Coaching Method, reached out to me and said, I agree with you and I value that you take your health so seriously because that gives me inspiration and it gives me trust that I hired the right people to take me through this journey of losing weight because you guys practice what you preach. Just think about that if you're getting triggered. But there was somebody else who commented. I can't remember your name, but shout out to you. She made the best comment. She said, I am triggered by this, but it just revealed to me what I need to work on. So thanks for the motivation, like something along those lines. That is the exact trait of a successful individual. See, person A, who is not successful, gets triggered by something somebody else says. It manifests in them because it reveals their insecurity. And they lash out with comments and hate mail and all that kind of crap, which does them nothing, doesn't serve them at all. But that's how they respond. They react. They don't even respond. They react with hate and triggered emotions. Nothing happens. Nothing goes anywhere, right? They just sit in that emotion. So person A is not successful. They get triggered. They let it get the best of them. They comment. They hate. They do all these things. They consume their time, their energy, their heart, their mind with this thing that was said online that triggered them because they are insecure about said topic. Then we have person B who is successful. The second person who is successful, they get triggered, but they investigate it. So if I made that post and said, trainers, you have no excuse not to be in shape. And it triggered me. I read that and I got triggered. Instead of me getting pissed and rationalizing why they're wrong and that's not the case, maybe I should stop and think about it. Be like, why does this make me mad? Why does this trigger me? Why am I getting upset about this? I'm going to dig deeper because somewhere underlying this trigger is an insecurity. Maybe this insecurity is valid or maybe it's not. If it's not valid, maybe I'm in great shape, but I get insecure by that post. Maybe there's some underlying body image issues. Maybe my expectations are too high and I'm trying to stay shredded year round. Maybe bodybuilding got the best of me and now I can't look at my body without being disappointed because I'm not stage lean, right? That's an unjustified, unrational insecurity that I have. Now I need to investigate and dig deeper to fix that problem. And if it wasn't for that person saying what they said, I wouldn't have got triggered And if it wasn't for me being who I am, introspective, I wouldn't have asked the right questions to lead me further, which is another point we're going to get to in a minute. But maybe, just maybe, and more often so, maybe I'm not in that great of shape. Maybe I was, but I let myself go because I don't take care of myself, which is really common. I work with a lot of coaches. A lot of coaches hire me because they want me to get them in shape because they let themselves go. I have a handful of people right now on my coaching roster. Shoot, if you're a coach listening to this right now and this hits home, shoot me an email, cody@tailoredcoachingmethod.com. Let's talk. Or just apply for coaching. Not only me, but a lot of my coaches work with other coaches. But point being, I have a handful of people who came to me at the end of last year saying this exact thing. I'm not living up to the standard that I should be living up to. I'm not setting the bar high enough for my clients to watch, learn, trust, and be inspired to work through their own issues, struggles, plateaus to reach their goals because they don't have a trainer who does it themselves. My clients aren't adhering to my plan. Well, maybe it's because you're not doing the plan. I'll tell you what, my clients adhered a lot better when they start seeing me visually do the same thing day in and day out. I'm not just talking out my ass. I do it. And they see it and then they believe it and they trust it and they buy in more. And now they're more consistent and adherent because they have a role model doing it. It's like a kid. If I'm telling my daughter to do something and she sees me do the opposite, how is that going to set the tone and the standard and the expectations for her to live up to? Case in point, I talk about being a steward. So stewardship is like it's like ownership, but towards God. And so the earth is God's. I'm going to be a steward to it, so on and so forth. Extreme ownership is a principle we live out in our company, right? And part of extreme ownership means doing something that you know you have the power to do, even when you don't want to, even if it's not your fault, even if it's not your responsibility. For me, that's picking up trash. If I see trash on the ground, not my trash, not my driveway, not my sidewalk, doesn't matter. I got to pick it up because I have the capability of bending over and grabbing it and putting it in my pocket till I get till a trash can. And whether I'm right in front of my house or I'm all the way down the street or I'm on another street in the neighborhood, this is still my neighborhood. It's still this planet. It's still this earth. I want to take care of it, right? And this is not some like ecosystem thing. I'm not very well versed in that at all. It's just about I have the power to do it. It's the same thing with things in my house. It's the same thing with the attitude. It's the same thing with holding the door open for somebody, right? We drove out. We were going to be late. I was dropping my daughter off for school this morning. We were going to be late if I did this. Maybe. You never know with the drop-off line and pick-up line at school. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. But we're backing out of the driveway, and my daughter saw that the wind blew open the recycling bin of our neighbor's house, and some cardboard flew into their yard. Not a ton, but some. She goes, "Dad, you got to stop." I was like, "What?" And I looked back, and she was like, "There's cardboard in the neighbor's yard." And I looked at it, and I'm like, first thought, as a human, not my garbage, not my problem. Second thought, my daughter even knows that this is part of being a good steward and showing extreme ownership. So what did I do? Pulled back in the driveway, put in a park, ran out there, got the trash, threw it in. She sees the standard I set for her. She lives up to the standard I set for her because of the standard I live for myself. Now, she doesn't do it perfectly every time, but she's starting to pick up on it because I do it in front of her. And then she asks why I do it, and I tell her why. So when a client sees me do X, Y, Z, and then I tell them why, and then 3 weeks later, I'm plugging it into their program, they understand it, they see it, they trust it because I'm doing it too, and now they're going to execute on it, right? So the point of this first thing, though, because I've been digressing a little bit like I typically do, the first key in, I don't even know, what is this podcast called? This is kind of a funny moment. Three traits for success. That's very generic. I'll think of something better, but that's basically what this is, right? The three things you need to do in order to grow more this year than you did last year. Let's call it that. And the first one is learn from your triggers. Triggers become lessons. So if something triggers you, like the trainer's post, why does it trigger you? It's probably because you have an insecurity. If you have an insecurity, maybe that insecurity is irrational and you need to work on some emotional stuff, but more than likely, it has some rationale to it. There's probably some truth underlying in that insecurity. Maybe it triggered you because you're not in the best shape. Why aren't you in the best shape? You got stuff going on in your life? Okay, so does your client. That's why they come to you. They come to you because they want a trainer or a coach who knows how to still lose weight and get results and be healthy, even when shit hits the fan, even when it's not that easy to be motivated, even when you don't want to go to the gym, even when you can't be that disciplined, even when you're super busy, even when you have a lot of family stuff going on, because they can't figure it out. It's not their profession. So they're going to come to you to make sure that they can do that properly, because you're going to teach them how, because you do it. And the only way that you can become this person in any area of your life is to learn from your triggers. In marriage, my wife has said certain things to me that trigger me. In the past, there has been multiple times where she would call me out for not being present. And it would have to do with work, or it would have to do with my phone, or it would have to do with getting frustrated too quickly, or whatever it may be. And what do? I get pissed and I make excuses as to why that's not true. And I rationalize. You know, I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect husband. And I would be like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I am present. I'm here. I'm not working. I'm not thinking about that. I'm not getting frustrated too quick. Well, I have a right to be frustrated. She's doing this. And I would say these things. It takes me a minute. And I can think of literal situations in my head. But then I come back 5-10 minutes later. I look at my wife and go, you're right. You're 100% right. And the reason I got defensive, and the reason I kind of lashed out there, or I got mad, or we started arguing, that's 100% on me. Because what you said triggered me. The reason it triggered me is because part of it's true. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to act that way. I don't want to have an attitude that's reflected that way. I don't want to make you or Blakely, my daughter, feel that way. But I know that I did. And I'm sorry for that. I want to be better. Thanks for bringing it to my attention. Legitimately, right? Maybe not word for word every single time, but 100% legitimately, that's how the conversation goes after the situation happens. Why? Because I learn from my triggers. If she says something that triggers me, I ask myself, why on earth does this make me so mad? Why am I getting triggered or thinking about questioning my own self based on what she just said? Well, it's because there's some truth in that. So point number one, I want to move on to the next one. Point number one is successful people all do this. And this has changed my life. And it's changed my life because I have more grace in situations. I can quickly rebuttal situations. I can communicate more effectively. I can troubleshoot problems easier. I can actually help others learn how to fix situations better and do the same. Because when I come into somebody's, when I come back at somebody and say that, and I say, hey, my bad. It triggered me because XYZ, they're able to start doing the same. They start reflecting the same way. So now I'm changing the way other people operate. And ultimately, I move forward faster because I don't let things really trigger my emotions. I let things trigger lessons. That's gold. That's the thing that you need to do this year to separate yourself from who you were last year. Turn triggers into lessons. Number two. Chip on your shoulder. The most successful people always have a chip on their shoulder, right? And I think that as you get more successful, this can kind of change. I had a chip on my shoulder originally because it was just like more or less just a lack of belief I felt from people being overweight and then wanting to get into the fitness space. I wasn't fully at my goal yet, but I was working my ass off to get there. Then it was like, I'm too young. I haven't had enough experience. Then it was a whole list. I mean, like, I didn't have a 4-year or a master's degree. I didn't have a silver spoon. I didn't live in the best area from like a fitness community perspective. I didn't have capital to start a business, anything like that. Shoot, like, you want to know what's real. And this is why, like, my wife's the goat. Like, really, like, there's so many aspects of being an entrepreneur that behind the scenes boil down to having a super strong support system. And I cannot stress how important my wife has been in that. But like, shoot, our first house was in her name. She was the breadwinner. My credit sucked. I was trying to figure things out. I had to make a big leap of faith and made a commitment to make sure that she never had to go back to work again once she got off maternity leave. And within 9 months, there was a complete 180 in me, my business, how I operated myself as a coach, my confidence, all that stuff, right? And a big part of it was because I had a chip on my shoulder. I could feel people's doubt, and I used that doubt as fuel. Now, as you check off more boxes, hit more home runs, score more points, less people doubt you. That's a fact. However, sometimes You have to lean on the negative to create motivation from it. And that's the big point of chip on your shoulder. Everybody starts with a chip on your shoulder. And for a lot of people, it doesn't ever finish, right? It's why Patrick Bet-David just wrote a book. I'm not done with it yet, but it's good. I haven't dug into it enough to tell you if it's like truly a great book or not, but it's called like Know Your Enemies Closely or something like that. You know, I was listening to 80% on Hani Rambod, one of the top bodybuilding coaches in the world, talk about this as well, like the chips on the shoulder they had. And so some of those chips never go away. They might be from when you were a kid, and it's just about proving people wrong, so on and so forth. But then you need to let that manifest into two things. One, you let that manifest into you helping inspire others to do the same. Because for me, it might have been the chip on my shoulder that allowed me to lose the weight, and then it allowed me to start the business, and that allowed me to build the business and do the things and create a team and all these different things. But at a certain point, the chip on your shoulder is gone because, one, you're not worried about the people from back then, and two, the people with you now don't doubt you because they see your success rate and they see that you do what you say you're going to do. However, if I continue to do what I say I'm going to do and continue to live out the plan and the process and be successful, then I continue to inspire others to do the same. And I continue to inspire others to use that negative energy or that chip on their shoulder as fuel to win and to grow and to live a better life. So my chip on my shoulder becomes their chip on their shoulder that I'm really trying to work for, right? And then on top of that too, it's mostly about the lesson behind this. It's about if we dig deeper, like what is the thing here? The thing here is negativity, right? When I first lost weight, what motivated me was looking in the mirror and seeing stretch marks and seeing that I was overweight and seeing that I let myself go and seeing that like I had all these friends that graduated high school, went out and played college ball, some of them, and some of them were really great shape and all fit. And I just wasn't. I was just back home, just not doing shit, overweight, unhealthy, unproductive, insecure. And I had to admit all those things. So a lot of times, if we don't admit the pain, if we don't accept the negativity, if we don't just realize this is where I'm at and I don't like it and I'm going to admit it, well, then you're not going to change, because change requires change, right? You have to create change to see change. And you also have to accept your current complacency, your current situation, your current body, your current mind, your current thought process, current attitude, current level of success in said endeavor in order to move forward, right? I cannot create what I'm not aware of, right? I cannot change what I'm not aware of needing change. And a lot of times what needs change makes you feel like shit. And that's the thing that you got to realize. If something negative is in your life, if you have an insecurity, if you have something that you feel is holding you back, if you're struggling with something personally, maybe the answer isn't to avoid it, because you want to be nice to yourself and you want to be positive and you don't want to harp on the negative. Maybe it's to look the negative dead straight in the face. It's like the old Stoic philosophy, the obstacle is the way. Well, the obstacle is your insecurity. The obstacle is the fear of failure. The obstacle is the scale. The obstacle is your poor health. The obstacle is your lack of strength. Your obstacle is your lack of energy, your hormones, the bad relationship you haven't fixed, the conversation you need to have, whatever the thing is that is negative, that is causing you stress, that's the key to your growth. You have to step into resistance in order to create change and grow. So the second point here of what successful people have in common, what has helped me push through challenges and grow because of these hard negative things that happen in my life, and what you need to do in order to be better than you were last year, is that you need to find the chip on your shoulder and or face the negative shit dead in the face, because the obstacle is the way. And if you can turn that negative thing into a positive motivation, focus on what you're trying to run away from to give you direction on what you're trying to run towards. Because if you think about it like that too, whatever the negative thing is behind me that I'm trying to run away from, it's going to be the opposite image of what's in front of me. And sometimes I don't have clarity. Maybe you don't have clarity on what's ahead of me and what's ahead of you, and what you're trying to chase, what you're trying to accomplish, what you want to do, what you can do, what's possible. What is the best likely outcome that you could accomplish in this situation or of your journey? Maybe you don't have complete clarity. Well, I can promise you that if you really, really start to dial in and focus on and get clear on what you don't want, where you're currently at, what needs to create change, that clarity of your future self and future vision is going to start manifesting itself. It's going to start revealing itself slowly but surely. It's going to appear in front of you. Because now you know exactly what you're running from. You know exactly what you need to change. You know exactly what you don't want. And you can't know what you want unless you know what you don't want. Change requires awareness. Number two or three, ask hard questions. That's what all this is about, right? This is about thriving over surviving. I was on a podcast today. I was getting interviewed for another guy's show. And he asked me at the end to define health. He was like, what is your definition of health, to wrap things up? It's like a question he asked all of his guests. And I said, health is thriving, not surviving. And I said that because it relates to every single area of your life, right? And in order to thrive, not just survive, you got to ask yourself the hard questions, kind of going back to that first thing, right? The trigger. A lot of times the triggers spark these questions. But if you look at each area, your relationships, for me, the two key ones that I'm thinking about are my daughter and my wife, and then my team, right? If I look at those, are they thriving or surviving? If it's just surviving, why is it just surviving? What am I not doing, right? Because most likely it has nothing to do with what I am doing. It's what I'm not doing. If me and my wife are just surviving, we're roommates. If we're thriving, we're passionately in love, which I can confidently say we are. My daughter, if it's just surviving, then I'm just the guy that pays the bills. And that's an insecurity. I don't want to just be a provider. I want to be a provider, a protector, and a true parent and father figure, somebody who inspires her, somebody who gives her passion, somebody who allows her to become her best self, somebody she can look up to. I don't get that by just paying the bills. So if I look at my relationship there and it's just surviving, it's not thriving, what am I not doing to give her that image of me? A powerful question you can ask is, what do the people you love most say about you when you're not around? Like, how do they talk to you, talk about you to other people? If they don't talk about you at all, you're not even in the conversation of topic or topic of conversation. That's rough because they don't even want to talk about you. But if they are talking about you, is it good? And if it's good, is it great? Or is it normal? Is it something that's going to send, like, I think about the neighbors, they're in the cul-de-sac and maybe I'm out of town. What are they saying about me? And what they're saying, is that going to make the other neighbor go home and talk to their partner about what my wife and daughter were saying about me, or how cute it was that my daughter misses her dad and told the neighbors why she missed me and who I am to her and how I'm so strong and blah, blah, blah. That is what I want. So what am I not doing to get that effect? With my hormones, am I thriving or surviving? My gut health, thriving or surviving? My diet, thriving or surviving? My training, thriving or surviving? My body fat levels and muscle mass, thriving or surviving? I don't know about you, but I would assume if you're listening to this, you're like me, because we're all about helping the average person achieve above average things. You don't want to survive. You want to thrive, which means you want to be on the spectrum of, what am I not doing, right? So if we look at everything and we're trying to thrive and not survive, we got to ask the hardest questions. In my relationship, what am I not doing to make my wife deeply, passionately in love with me and attracted to me physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually every single day? What am I not doing to make my daughter look up to me like a superhero and to think I'm the strongest person in the world and to think that I will always protect her and to think that I have everything figured out and I'm the wisest person she's ever met? Well, I can tell you this, if I'm not present, if I'm not talking to her, if I'm not teaching her lessons, if I'm not picking her up, if I'm not playing with her, if I'm not doing things in front of her so she sees me do them like I talked about earlier with the trash, how am I ever going to be that person to her? If my hormones are all messed up, what am I not doing to make them better? If I'm super stressed out, what am I not doing in order to fix that and improve my stress management? If my body is fat, what am I not doing? If I don't have muscle, what am I not doing? I'm probably not training. I'm probably not tracking calories. I'm probably not watching what I eat. I'm probably not showing any care towards my body, the one body I have for this life on earth. I mean, really think about it. The hard questions are always going to reveal the deepest, most powerful, and life-changing answers. So the third and final thing that you really need to think about, if you want to be successful, and especially if you want to be a completely different human this year, you want to thrive, not survive, you want to completely turn 2024 into the 180 success transformation compared to 2023, you need to ask yourself hard questions. And you need to be willing to ask those hard questions and then find the deepest answers that are going to reveal the most powerful results. So the three things are pretty simple. Number one, turn triggers into lessons. So remember, these are three things that all successful people have that are also going to help you transform this year. The three common traits and characteristics of the most successful people that I've ever seen, followed, learned from, and the three specific keys that will help you completely transform this year compared to last year. Number one being you turn triggers into lessons. Successful people don't get triggered and bothered and emotional about what is said online, all that kind of shit. What they do is they see it, and if they feel an insecurity, they dive deeper and they try to figure out why, because most likely it's attached to some kind of insecurity, whether it's something that is a rational insecurity or not. It is going to lead to them fixing themselves and getting better and improving, plain and simple. Number two, successful people typically have a chip on their shoulder, but more importantly than not, and what you need to take away from that in order to be better this year than last year, is that you will turn negative things into positive motivation. Find a negative. You will turn these negative things into a positive motivation. You will find that negative thing, and then you will flip it so that you can grow from it. You see the negative thing and you're motivated to get away from it, to move through it, to build from it, to grow from it, to prosper because of it. You see these negative things, or you see these challenges, as happening for you, not to you. That is a common trait. If I can look at a negative thing or a hard struggle or something that's happening to me that I'm just like really struggling with, if I can look at it and go, "This, why is this happening for me? What am I supposed to learn from this situation? How could this make me stronger, better, more successful, more graceful, more kind to others?" If I can do that, I will be 10 times more successful, and you will too. Number three, ask hard questions. If you want to thrive, not just survive, in every area of your life, you need to ask yourself the hardest questions. What are you not doing in your relationships? What are you not doing with your body? What are you not doing with your mind? What are you not doing with your spirit? What are you not doing with your business, with your finances, with your stress, with your savings, with your hormones, with your gut, with your muscle, with your training, with your diet, with whatever it is, your investments? What are you not doing right now that is stopping you from thriving? Ask that hard question. It is hard because you got to look yourself in the mirror and realize that you're falling short on what you are capable of. And when you can start doing the thing, now you win. I really, really hope this hits home, guys. I hope you really take this in. You really think about this and you maximize what you're going to get done in this year. If you like this show, please do me a huge favor. Leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and Spotify. It helps the show grow more than you would know. Take a screenshot of this, share it on your Instagram story. I would love to thank you for listening. I would love to thank you for sharing and following and being a part of this journey with me. All I want to do is give back, give more, and give things that are going to completely transform your life. And all I ask is that you listen and you share it with others so that they can transform too. Last but not least, if this is your year to finally take charge and change your health, change your body, change your mind, head over to taylorcoachingmethod.com, apply for coaching. One of us will get on the call with you for free, and we'll talk to you about how we can help you transform that body. I appreciate you guys listening. I will catch you next time.